If you would turn to Philippians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 14. Today's title is The Divine Call and God's Expectation. Father, we just come before you, Lord God. We ask that your fresh anointing would make our minds fertile and our heart attentive, Lord. God, as we go deeper, increase our understanding, Lord. Increase us, God, to mature us into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. I ask, God, that you would impart tremendous vision today in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, not that I have already attained this or am already perfected, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I don't think we really realize what Paul is saying here. And because I don't think we fully appreciate what the apostle is telling us, I want to just get a little flavor before I get into the message as to the understanding of what Paul is saying here. He hasn't obtained his goals. He is reaching forward for his goals. And he doesn't boast because God is using him so much that he has attained his goals. Because his goals are higher than just a lofty goal, a goal to set. His goal, he tells us, is for the upward call. And we talked about our calling a little bit last week. That God has called us. Few are chosen. And Paul was one of those chosen ones. Paul was one of those guys that didn't worry about what was yesterday. He's only looking forward. He can't change yesterday. He can only live for today and change tomorrow. And so his goals are set in such a way that all that is consuming him is to become like Jesus Christ as much as he possibly can. And I would say that the Church of Jesus Christ today is something far less than obtaining the high call of Jesus Christ. I really believe that. I really believe that what we have done as elders and leaders of the church, we have watered down the gospel so much that when you speak about radicalizing militaristic thoughts, combating the enemy, looking at people out there as people who need Jesus Christ, but there is a force that is keeping them captive. And until you come to that realization that you have an important plan in God's scope of things, you will live a quasi-existence. And Paul said, you know what, I haven't attained the fullness yet, but I'm pressing on. I can't speak for you, but I'm going for the gold. I'm going for the gusto. And for us as Christians, we need to really consider this. Because for us to call ourselves Christians, it means two things. We have awakened to the divine call, and we are pressing on for it. Amen? The other point that we have to understand is how we proceed in this obtaining of this divine call is very critical for us. We need to acknowledge that God has called us into something higher than living in the mundane, the mediocrity of the world. God has called his people from glory, a lower glory, to a higher glory. And it will take the faith that we had to the faith that he has to bring us there. Amen? And so what we have to understand is that if God has called us to a higher call, then he has expectations on his people to respond and mature to that. That may sound a little bit too difficult for us. That may look at God in a different light. But I'm hoping that you come to understand that God requires everything that we are and everything that we have for Him. We own nothing. We are nothing without Him. And the reason why Israel didn't proceed any further than go through some blessings and was elected of God and all was because they did not follow after Him with their whole heart. And until we eliminate the division that's within our heart, until we stop yes and daddy to death and saying, yeah, that was great, and we start moving on this, sad to say, but the standards of Christianity has been elevated amongst our fellowship. And we are going to provoke those that we associate with to also come up alongside with us. We must dedicate our lives, dedicate the way we live, dedicate the way we think, and serve God with a whole heart. According to Numbers 32:1, Deuteronomy 1:36, and Joshua 14:14. God must be first in every aspect of our lives. We know this out of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye what? Seek what? And all these things. God and His righteousness. See, we're unrighteous without Him and for what He has done. And all the more reason that He has chosen us that we should sing the high praises of Him. But you just don't understand my circumstances. I'm tired of your circumstances. You're in your circumstances because you haven't done what God has said. You have not served the Lord God with all your heart. It has always been divided, and that is human nature. But you know what? God is the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. Repent, get moving. Repent, get over it. Repent, get over yourself. Really, it's the truth. God is requiring us to go deeper. And in going deeper with Him means we go higher. You know, it is a dichotomy that really, you know, the church has not come to understand. The church figures to stay in its four walls and they'll come in. But the church has to blow away these walls and get into the community and start showing the people the love of Jesus Christ. Not just talking about it. They don't want the kind of Christianity that's been served up. And I tell you what, I don't want it either. We should then, as we proceed, is cultivate good role models for us. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And we may say, well, you know what? Jesus is our ultimate goal. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Jesus is. But Paul is too. Paul realized that he was a type of Christ. He wasn't the Christ. You're a type of Christ. Whether you understand this or not, your life is a type of Christ. What is your life speaking to other people? Well, I'm a Christian. Okay, what does that mean? What's your definition? Your definition is your life. If I was a heathen and I looked at your life, would I want what you got? Would I be hungry and thirsting after what God has done for you? Or would I say, I've already got that? You see, God is not calling us into something less than. He's calling us into abundance and more. And you have to begin to start believing this. The reason why it's not happening is because the devil has beat your brains into believing that you're less than what God has said you are. We have to understand that in bringing these role models into our lives, they create a synergetic element in our lives that will make our lives more pronounced, more prominent, and powerful. Not only influencing the world, but fellow believers. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't see myself. That's right. You don't see yourself. Your eyes are closed to the realities that God has. And we must lift up our eyes in faith to really see. What is it that God has said to you? How are you influencing people? Are you influencing people to their destruction, or are you influencing people out of destruction? See, God is calling us away from judgment or destruction. But is our lives reflecting? Is our lives self-destructive? And I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. What's a pronounced life look like? A pronounced life looks like it is ever increasing and it becoming more apparent that you are different. And that your life is reflecting Jesus Christ, not the world. And in this generation, we have a generation of 18 to 30-year-olds that are becoming radicalized. Except they're becoming radicalized for Islam. Not radicalized for the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can tell them. You can tell how they're becoming radicalized. Because what is coming out of their mouth? How do they live their lives? What is their train of thought? All speaks volumes to us as to what their prominence is in life. I give you permission not to be ashamed to be a Christian any longer. For too long, we've apologized in the one that we believed. Paul tells us in Romans, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, he said, I'm not going to make an excuse and I'm not going to apologize any longer. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And He has saved me and loved me. A prominent life is one that stands out and is obviously different from the norms of the world. How is your life different from everybody else that you know that's in your oikos? Well, we go to church. Devil does too. We quote the Bible. Devil does too, but he misses some of the key words in there, but he still does. We pay our tithes. I don't want your tithes. You've got to pay them. Keep them. I love Jesus. I read the Bible. Every time I dust it off, it says Bible, Holy Bible on there. I read it. Okay, cool. You're living it. Are you living it? It's the Word taking on your life. This is what it means to be radical. Your life is going to change. Or you just, yeah, that sounds good. That's good preaching, Pastor. Keep it up. Keep it up. And your life is unchanged. Is your life more powerful? Does it contain the inner strength to resist sin and resist your carnal diets to a point that people look at you and say, wow, I don't know how you were able to do that. Well, let me tell you how I'm able to do that. His name is Jesus Christ and He has enabled me. I now walk with the King because I am the King's kid. And all that stuff is beneath me. I feed and live on a diet that is far better than what this world could ever put before me. Or offer me. Nothing compares to the richness I have in Jesus Christ. If we can sit there and agree to this, then what we may say is we have a royal obligation, a divine obligation before God to live a life radically different. Can I get an amen out of that? And this is what God expects of us. He expects each and every one of us to reflect Jesus Christ in every aspect of our lives, in every divine principle that He tells us. Because the goal is not that the church would have all this opulence. The goal is not that pastor would quit his job and be taken care of. That is not the goal. The goal is saving souls and bringing them into Father's house so that we can educate them, get their lives cleaned up, and release them back out so that they can have a life that reflects Jesus Christ in the kingdom. Amen. That's the whole purpose here. And whether you like it or not, you are an example to somebody else. Your life is either impacting somebody for Christ, or your life is impacting somebody against Jesus Christ. And that is all of us. Well, Pastor, you know, I try really hard. I really do. I really try. But, you know, I just can't seem to comprehend what's going on. And I know you're busy, Pastor, but, you know, I suffer along. You know, that's false humility. And that'll get you killed. God doesn't want you operating from that position. He wants you to operate a life that is so regally formed, so conformed to the kingdom of heaven. And he can't express it any better than he says, I love you and I'll give you everything if you become devoted to me. And I scarcely say that what we do is we blame everybody else for our misgivings. While the truth of the matter is we have severe reservations that God will even take care of our problems. The fact of the matter is that if you start applying the principles, and I look at Karen all the time, I mean, she's getting it. She's applying the basic principles, and your life is changing. You're changing. Your family's changing. And I'm like, man, we got one that's doing all right. Awesome, God. I want more. I'm not satisfied. Do you know that you can know what your call is and flow in it? Because I'm going to ask you, what's your call? Oh, my call is cell number 609-335-1335. No. I'm not calling you. God's calling you. What has he called into your life? What is he speaking to you? Well, God spoke to me and I'm afraid that he's going... That's not God. If you're full of fear, it's not God. God's going to call you. He's going to enable you. He's going to promote you. He's going to love you through this so that when you begin to flow, you will love flowing for the King. That's the truth. In a few weeks, we're going to take a Wednesday off and we're going to find out what our gifts and callings are. I have a form. And you will be surprised what it is that your gift and calling is. I mean, it's really simple. But you can also know your gift and calling because my Bible says out of Romans 12, 1 and 2, second and third principles, right, Ed? What's the second one? Reasonable service, absolutely correct. Therefore, brethren, I exhort you to present yourself as a living sacrifice. These men presented themselves as living sacrifices yesterday, which is a holy service unto God. And because of it, and what God did yesterday, I had an opportunity to tell the churches what Jesus Christ is doing in our fellowship. And they were like, wow, that's novel. That's so cool. No, that's God, and we're just doing what God says. See, I said, I'm not the smartest, I'm not the brightest bulb, but I do know one thing. When he speaks, I want to do what he tells me to do. We can know what it is that God says. Be no longer conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will. Perfect call of God for you. You can know it. Then when you know it, don't run from it. Embrace it. Embrace it. But you got to get your lives put together. You know, God wants to deliver you from a situation to bring you into a situation. Do you understand this? And as long as you stay in your situation and you deny that that God wants to bring you out, you will stay in that. And because you're staying in that, you're hurting the church. You're hurting the church of Jesus Christ. You're not hurting me. You're hurting His church because God is bringing His church together. And what will happen? And I'm not praying this, but what will happen? He will separate you so that His church will not be hindered. And He will deal with you as sons and daughters and bring you into discipline. I'm exhorting you and begging you, wherever it is that God has spoken to you to get your life right, get it right. Because I've been spanked. And I'm not going to have streams spanked because of your disobedience or my disobedience. We need to see that we are on a road that is going to require greater discipline, not less. Greater vision, not less. Greater radicalism, not less. And if you want safe church, there's plenty of them around. Streams is not going to be a safe church. Streams is going to fulfill the Great Commission. Streams is going to make disciples and release them so God can use them. That is His plan. That's what He wants. And that's what we are to do. Now, I want to go back and get us to understand some things. God created everything. He created everything with a purpose. You are not here by accident, and you're not here today by accident. You're here to know that God has a purpose for your life. God is in control of your life. You may think that He's not. You may think that you're in control of your life. What you are, and the truth of it is, you are out of control of your life. And you are in your position because you have been rebellious to the Lord your God. That is the truth. I know. I was there one time. And I'm not going back to that. And because I sinned, you've sinned, God in His great mercy of redemption knew that we needed an example to follow. And so that's the reason why He sent Jesus Christ. Not only to die, but give us an example of what this divine man looked like. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Christ now dwells in you. You need to let your God-man out. All that Jesus is, healing. How many of us believe in healings? Then why aren't you praying for the sick and them recovering? Why are we going to the doctors when all we should be doing is what the Scripture says? Call upon the elders. If any is sick among you, call upon the elders, and they will pray the prayer of faith, and if there's any sin, shall be forgiven, and they shall recover. But we go to the doctors, we get medicines, we do all the stuff opposite of what God says, because that's radical. It's too radical. This is where God's taking us, church. We're going to walk in divine health. We're going to impart divine healing. We're going to have divine vision. We're going to see things that are not and start speaking them as though they were. We're going to call things out of darkness and expose them in the light. Your rebellion will be exposed in the light if you so persist in doing that. And believe me, nobody wants their wash out there. They don't want their dirty wash out there. But God will do it to show you just how serious He is about this. But, you know, at this church down the street, they don't preach like you do, Pastor. They preach about love. I preach about love. God loves you tremendously. But He ain't going to let you stay in your cesspool of mess. He is not. He's about you treading on serpents. He's about you living an abundant life, not a life of beggars. And I'm not talking about health, wealth, and prosperity. I'm talking about getting out of your circumstances that you have what you have and then be able to give away more while you're obedient to the principles of the kingdom. And those principles can also consist in giving to God out of love and obedience. We have to understand that you and I are a pattern for the believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus was radical. He fried people's minds. When he started talking, they kept on saying, "Man, is this the carpenter's kid? Is this the carpenter's kid?" No one ever spoke like this before. Did you hear this dude? With what authority does he speak with? Jesus knew who he was. He knew what he was called to do. And he did it. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're called to? And are you going to do it? It's the question. See, God's plan for you is to be radically different than what you are right now. I used to be a person that was short-fused and quick to put my fist up, and I was going to bust your head. And I wasn't afraid of anybody. I don't care if you were 10 foot tall or what. Because it wasn't the size of the dog that determined the fight. It was the size of the fight in the dog that determines it. And God turned me around from being this type of person to a person that is radical, that he has unleashed this dog in me, that I am tired of seeing God's people live less than what he has said and done for them. You are the king's kids, and you deserve to live better than where you are. But because you have believed the lie, you are satisfied. How can you be satisfied in your circumstances? You become satisfied because you have no goals set before you in order to attain. And when you have no goals, you work for none. And God has set lofty goals for Streams and for you. We're too busy running around trying to get someone else to take over my life so I can live lazy and carefree, when the fact of it is, God is going to hold you accountable for your life. Doesn't it say that all of us are going to stand before him and give an account? So don't we want our lives to count for something other than ourselves? Again, only you can understand this. Only you can explain this. Only you can put out forest fires. We have to understand that these examples of radicalness is radical love in motion. That's what it is. It's radical love. I love you guys. I hate seeing what the enemy is doing to you because you are willing to participate in his junk. I hate it. But until you come to a place that you are sick and tired of being sick and tired of living in your junk, you're going to have the same diet. And that's not what God has prescribed for you or for me or for Streams. You see, you guys see me now, 25 years later. You should have seen where we were 25 years ago. And God has redeemed my marriage. He has redeemed my finances. He has redeemed my health. He has redeemed my job situation. He has redeemed, why? Because I serve him wholeheartedly. I follow after him wholeheartedly. And that's what he's asking of you. And that doesn't mean wholeheartedly today, and then tomorrow you start all over again, living as you feel like. A young mother corrects a misbehaving son for something he shouldn't have done. And he replies, "But daddy does it." Ever have that one laid on you? "Or mommy does it. You shouldn't be doing this." "Well, mommy does it. Daddy does it." Sure. All of us that have had kids have cringed when our kids responded like that. Because we tell them, do as I say, not as I do. But what they do is they do as we do, and then they dime us out. They do. Your life is going to dime you out. Satan is already a liar and a deceiver, and you buy into it all the time. Oh, God doesn't love me. God, why did you create me? Get in the Word and find out. He'll tell you. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. Oh, that means you got to read the Bible. Oh, absolutely. It's called developing the relationship that He saved you for. He saved you. You can't save yourself. And because Paul was radical in his lifestyle, he exhorted Timothy. Timothy was 22 years old, pastoring a church. 22! I'm afraid he's going to call me to prophesy. That's such a terrible thing. It's a wonderful thing. You got to get your mind changed. I see dreams and visions, but I'm afraid to say anything about it. Why? If it's God, share it. The church needs to hear it. But you don't understand, Pastor. No, you don't understand. I understand clearly. You don't understand. I don't want you to be like Samuel running around and then running to Eli. And that's what we have. Because we don't even run to Eli. We just storm out of our brains because God's speaking to me. If Paul lived this divine lifestyle, this divine calling, and I would say he was the greatest of all the apostles. If he did this, and he exhorted Timothy to do this, and they are flesh and blood, right? Then what's our excuse to live this divine life? To live in divine power? To live and experience divine joy? Even when they're carting us off to jail. Fine, okay, cool, no problem. We have to understand that the Father is the ultimate pattern. Jesus is the central pattern for us. When we look at Jesus, as Jesus said to Philip, I've been with you all this time, Philip, and you've not seen the Father? Who is the world seeing through you? Or are they stuck on Gary? They're just looking at me. Or are they seeing Jesus? Are they hearing Jesus? Are we walking, talking Jesus? Because the Antioch church was called Christians because they walked and talked just like Jesus. They were like these little Christs set around like gremlins. Anybody see the movie Gremlins? These boys were having fun and all. They were going out chasing after demons, casting them out. You know what? We put too much power on Satan, and he is. He is a powerful angel. I don't want us to get caught in it. But God made him. And we serve God. So why are we so hung up on Satan when we should be looking to our Father, reflecting him in every instance that we can? Radical. Our goals should take on a different substance about them. Our lives should take on a different meaning when we realize that people are looking at us each and every day. Fellow Christians and non-believers. We are an example, one to another. And our job is to influence both simultaneously. We're to influence the world to change and repent, to come to Jesus Christ. Those behind us, we're exhorted to mature, become like Christ. As I follow Christ, come on. Come on, follow. I'm not perfect. I haven't attained it, but I'm pressing on. I want it. How bad do you want it? It'll reflect your life. We are looking at Christ as our pattern while being one for another. We can have a choice, one of two choices. We can live a life of abject monotony that doesn't encourage anyone to examine us, or we could be the other end, penetrating, living a life that is exhilarating while everyone is looking at us. And that's what happened yesterday for Streams. Everyone was looking. They were looking for me yesterday. Of course, we were having men's breakfast. They called us. Yo, get over here. We need you to pray. Right over. That's the truth. That's what happened. God stopped the stage. Stopped everything. Because He wanted me there. And I said, yes, sir. I'll be right over. Disobedience will give us missed opportunities. Obedience opens doors of opportunity. Humble serving gives us realms of authority. Are you beginning to see how important it is for us as a church? This thing is going to explode like never before. The power of God is coming. You need to be ready to release it. You've already contained it. You just don't know it. It's nothing to be afraid. Just release the love of God from you. And watch what happens. Amen? Father, we just come before you, God. God, you expect not too much from us, God. Your expectations are true and just. And God, you are so faithful that even in our rebellion and lawlessness, God, you will use that as a testimony to glorify you. Father, I just pray that today that the church would become radicalized for you, Lord. Radically in love for you. Radically in love with the kingdom. Radically in love in your purposes and plans, God. Radically challenging other believers. Your word says, to challenge them unto good works, God. God. Challenge us, God. The challenge has been thrown out since the beginning of the year to go deeper. And in our depth of going deeper, allow us to enjoy your presence more, God. Cause our hearts to open to love you. Cause our hearts to open more for you, God. That our hearts would be so filled with love that it would be perfected, God. That it would cast out fear. That we know, God, that you do not withhold any good thing from us, God. But as we prove ourselves faithful to you, you promote us. God, forgive us, God, that we've hurt you, Lord. We've hurt your cause for Jesus Christ in this world, in this community, Lord. God, help us to implement the principles so that our lives would be successful in you, God. No quick fixes, but consistently working at the details, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And God, help us to prioritize them in a way that, God, that our flesh, our desires for what we want, God, that you would cause them, God, to fade away. That we would take care of business first. And that is your business, God. And if you see fit for us to have a time of enjoyment, then so be it. But Lord, until then, we need to make our lives right before you. Father. I give you permission to continue to dredge my life, God. Dredge it, because I want more of you. I want more of what you have, God. I'm not satisfied. I want more of your power to flow, God. I want more of your Spirit's conviction to flow, God. I want more of your love to flow. And I pray that that be the heart of the church, God. They want more of you. So God, as we go forth in this day, God, begin that work in us until we come together again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.